Glad that you're here tonight in the Lord's house. We want to begin with number 157, Far Above All. And we have a familiar tune for you on this one that goes moment by moment. Let's stand, please, as we sing hymn number 157. Let's be still now, please, before the Lord, commit our service into his hands in prayer. Father, we are thankful again to be found in your house on the Lord's Day evening. And as we commence our worship, our desire of heart is that the name of our Lord would be exalted far above all. We know that his name is above every name that can be named in heaven or on earth or under the earth. We know, Father, that one day soon every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of your holy name. And so, Father, tonight, as we have been given the privilege to be here and the grace that is given to us, we want, dear Lord, to enter in with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength and to worship the living and the true God. We ask, Father, to take away from our minds everything that would distract us and every intruding thought into this time. Lord, help us to enjoy these precious moments. Help us, we pray, to drink in all the truth of the Scriptures that are read, and as we share the truth of Thy Word, bless everyone who will take part tonight in this praise service. Lord, it is but a foretaste of heaven. As we will gather and sing here on earth, we do so, Lord, just in a faint way, as what will be one day in glory. And so therefore, O God, help us. Give us joy in our hearts. Give us the praise that is due unto your holy name. And let us not come with hands that are stained or contaminated. Rather, Lord, to know that as we approach the throne of grace tonight, that our hands will be clean, our hearts will be clean. And what we mean, Lord, clearly is that we will be washed from all of our transgression and sin, and we will know nothing of a hindrance between us and our Lord. Father, preserve us and keep us. We know the devil would love to cause some stumbling block in our way, some temptation that we would succumb to. Lord, let that not be the case. I pray that we would be strong in the Christ, strong in the Word, that we would not surrender or give in to the temptations that come to us. Lord, that we will walk faithfully day by day in the shadow and under the shadow of the protection of the wings of Christ. And so, Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Thankful for the boys and girls again that were singing and reciting the Scripture in the service this morning. Bless each one of them. And as our young adults will sing and minister tonight in song, that their own hearts will be encouraged, that they will be filled with the Spirit of God to minister in this way, and you would give them joy and take away all nervousness. And I pray that they will enter into the praises of the great name of our Lord. And bless our sister Betty as she also sings tonight, that she will know the joy of the Lord in song. And Father, bless every family connected with our fellowship. Bless in the salvation of every family member. Help us to go on from strength to strength. And whether it is in the classroom or in the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever it is that we are taken, that our voices will always be heard in praising God. There will not be any untoward thing, any foul thing, Lord, that comes out of our mouth. Protect our minds, we pray. Protect our motives and our thought processes, that always we will filter our thinking through the Word of God, that we will be separated and pure, Lord, as it's possible for any saved sinner to be. And so, Father, hear our prayer. Remember each one who bears a burden tonight regarding some health problems or some other family matter. Lord, pour out your grace upon each one of us and meet those needs. Oftentimes, Lord, prayers that are spoken in the privacy and quietness of our own hearts, and yet, Lord, as we present them before the throne of grace in Christ's name, Father, we anticipate and look forward to the answers that will come in due time and according to your perfect will. Give us grace, Lord, to know that sometimes the prayers that we ask will be answered with a decisive no. And give us that patience and grace to receive those answers because, Lord, we know that according to your perfect will, we will be better off, Lord, not having the answer to that particular prayer as maybe we thought it should be answered. Give us faith and help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And help us, Father, to live every day of our life in the light of the resurrection of Christ. And if we then be risen with Christ, that we might seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord, ever living to make intercession for us. And give us joy, we pray, in the Holy Spirit continually. Bless our fellowship downstairs afterward, Lord, that we will once more enjoy each other's company, speaking of the things of Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for the outreach in the local apartments that were done yesterday, and we pray that the boys and girls that heard the gospel, that had the word of God spoken to them, that you would break through into their heart. Bless those families. And we pray, Lord, that other opportunities in local apartment complexes or wherever it might be, that you would open the hearts of the neighbors and friends and the boys and girls in our community. Lord, cause your fear to descend upon this place. We know that there is so much crime and brokenness and abuse going on. Lord, we pray that you would arrest the criminal before they might commit their crime, and you would humble them under your power. Lord, we know that you're able to do this, and you would preserve decency and order in our communities, in our society, in our cities and provinces, and in our nation. Oh, God, help us in these very evil and wicked days, that we might be as bright lights to shine and reflect the beauty of the Savior and be able to share with others the joy and the reason for the hope that is in us with meekness and with fear. So bless us tonight, we ask in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Well, we again welcome you to our evening Easter praise service. It's an opportunity for us to thank the Lord by the songs that we sing and by some who will be participating tonight in the service. Well, of course, everyone in that sense, because we all want you to sing, an opportunity in some time in the service for a couple of your favorite hymns. And so we'll ask you to think about that now. In the meantime, let's praise the Lord again with number 160, 160. Lamb of God, thou now art seated, seated high upon the Father's throne. Let's stand, please, to sing. Amen. It's good to sing about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back to this sinful and broken and troubled world, and He is coming back. We do not know the day nor the hour, but we look with great hope that He will come soon. And we would pray, even as John did in the book of Revelation, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, let us be all certain we are ready, watching and waiting. We'll not be caught off guard, and certainly not like the foolish virgins who did not have oil in their lamps. They were not ready. And when the Lord did come back, they were shut out. Ah, friend, be sure that that will not be your case tonight, that you will not be at all shut out from the door of heaven when the Lord comes back again. We will all be ready and watching and waiting. We're going to read tonight for a congregational scripture, John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, reading from verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless his word to your hearts tonight, as we have read. Again, a warm word of welcome to you all tonight to our evening service. We're glad that you are here, both in real time and those of you who are online. We're thankful for your presence with us tonight, and we pray that God would encourage and bless your heart. Let me ask you, please, to remember in prayer a family out in our British Columbia church, Hansen family. Mr. Vern Hansen passed away this past week. He was a deacon in that church, been a faithful member for many, many years, going back to the time of Reverend Gallagher, and a longtime family connection they have in the congregation. Remember his wife, Carrie. Please also pray for their family members, some of their children not saved, and that's been a great burden upon their hearts. So do remember Carrie Hansen in your prayers tonight, and all the arrangements that will take place for the funeral service. I know our brother Andrew Fitton, who was recently installed there as the minister. This is an important time for him as he is taking that funeral service. The Lord would be with him and bless him and strengthen him at this time. So do remember that family at this particular time. Please remember our fellowship after the evening service tonight. We're happy that you're able to stay behind with us, and you're very welcome. We trust the Lord would bless you and encourage your heart. The service is this week on Wednesday evening is our Bible study and our prayer time. And we encourage you to be here. We'll continue in our study of the prayers and responses of Moses in his own life and how the Lord worked through his servant. And then our services next Lord's Day at 9:45, our Sunday school, and morning and evening services again at 11 and 6:30. Want to encourage you, if you in the Christmas time were donating toward our bus fund, and encourage you to keep that up. We have a little plaque, I suppose you'd call it, a little board on the table at the back, just to give you an idea of how it has been progressing, and thank those who contributed to that. And let's pray on and contribute on for. Let's not forget also in your tithes and offerings, our missionaries, if you're giving specifically to a certain missionary fund that is on your heart, the Lord would bless you along that line as well. This time in our meeting, our young adult choir is going to come and sing, and then following that, we'll take time for some of your favorite hymns. So you think about that, and we'll take a few of those after the young adults sing. I wonder, friend, tonight, do you know him, that stranger of Galilee? You invite him into your heart. Don't make him a stranger. He wants to be known to you as your friend. And a friend that would be in your heart and life, that would save your soul for time, for all eternity. Ah, friend, today come and receive him as your own. So thank you, young people, for sharing that with us tonight. Let's take a couple of your hymns now. Who has one first of all? I see that hand up right here. All right. 162. Thine be the glory. We'll do the first and the last verses of this one. And I heard a voice over here. We'll take this one next. Amen. 456. All right. And then we have a hand up over here. We'll take this one next. 456. Oh, sorry. 156. Sorry. All right. Good. Verses 1 and 4. Yes, brother.
159.
159. Good. 159, 1 and 3. Well, for that hymn, you need to stand up on your pew in order to get those notes. They are quite high, but it's a good song of praise to the Lord. This is the only section we haven't heard from tonight, so we need one from here. 142. All right, brother. 142. There's no chorus on this one, so we will sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Let me ask you to play through that one time because I want to make sure everyone gets the tune. So play the first chorus through. And that is good. It's good to praise the Lord. Sometimes we do this, well, we try to make a habit of it on the second Lord's Day after the evening service, but we have done that tonight as well. Happy our sister Betty Wimalachandran is with us tonight. She's going to come and minister in song. Thank you, Betty, for ministering to us in song tonight. May the Lord bless those words and that message to our hearts. Please turn in your Bibles now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We're picking up at verse 36 here tonight. In this morning's service, we read more of the context of this chapter, the account of the two men on the road to Emmaus, and the stranger of Galilee drew near to them. He spoke with them, he asked them questions, and then he rebuked them for their unbelief and understanding that the words and the prophecies and the things that were spoken by Moses and all through the Old Testament, they had all come to pass in what had happened in Jerusalem unto the Lord Jesus. And he was still not known to them until he was invited into their home. And in the breaking of bread, Christ was revealed to them, and then he vanished from their sight. They immediately went back to Jerusalem from their home, not a long distance, and then they met with the other disciples, and they told them what they had seen. Well, we pick up again here in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we continue in our theme today of these words of Christ to his disciples, I pray that our hearts would be settled and still. Lord, I ask again for the help of the Holy Spirit to speak the word clearly and plainly, and I might know the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate. And Lord, we know that the message of the gospel is not by man's eloquence or wisdom or ability. It's not communicated in that way. But Lord, we come depending on the promise that we have in the Scripture that this word will only go forward effectually by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Lord, we pray to that end tonight, both as I speak this word, but as everyone here and watching online will hear, it will not simply be the hearing of the ear, but it will be the understanding of the heart. And Lord, for this, we need your power and help to work. So do that tonight, Lord, we pray humbly. We're asking in the Savior's name. Thankful tonight for those who have taken part, both in the singing in the congregation, the young adult choir, the Sister Betty. Lord, bless all of these things to our hearts. And now as we come to the Scripture, write the truth on our minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 39 is the thought or the verse we have been focusing on today in our services and thinking about the Lord and how he came into his troubled disciples, and they were filled with fear when he presented himself to them and he extended his hands and showed those nail-marked and scarred hands to them. Listen carefully to this account as I share with you tonight. It was on May the 20th, the year was 1978. An explosion had occurred and a resulting fire in the home of John and Brenda Vaughn resulted in severe injuries to Mrs. Vaughn and to her 2-year-old daughter, Becky. Mrs. Vaughn sustained third-degree burns over 65% of her body. In an attempt to rescue her daughter, Becky, from what would have been certain death, the entire house was engulfed in flames. Their 2-year-old daughter, Becky, sustained burns over 95% of her body. Neither mother nor daughter were expected to live through this tragedy. 7 months later, Mrs. Vaughn was released from the South Carolina Burn Center in Charleston. And 7 months after that, Becky was also able to return home, virtually a miracle, as they believed. Becky is one of only a few children who have survived such a burn that would cover almost the totality of their body. And of course, there were many complications as well. 3 months before the entire thing had occurred, Mrs. Vaughn had prayed a prayer to the Lord. She had said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do in my life, make me willing for your will and your purpose." As a result of the tragedy, Pastor Vaughn and his wife Brenda, they started a school, and the school was called Hidden Treasure. The scars from the burn that Mrs. Vaughn received would never be forgotten by their daughter, Becky. Of course, at 2 years of age, she did not know what had happened to her, nor what had happened to her mother. But as she grew and they explained to her what had happened, those scars that were borne by the mother, they were cherished by the daughter because she knew that that was her salvation. She knew it was, and they were the sacrificial marks of devotion and love that saved her life. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ extended to his disciples those nail-scarred hands, on that day, in the evening of his resurrection, he did so with the words, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, I am he," is exactly what the Lord said. They were filled with fear at that time, and with, I would call, an apprehensive joy. They knew it was the Lord, but they didn't know it was the Lord. They felt it was a spirit. They were shocked. They were overwhelmed. They were full of fear. And yet, in that time, it was quickly replaced by an overwhelming elation. Their Lord, their Christ, the Messiah, was now alive and standing before them in that room. And his arms, his hands were extended to them. And at that moment, I say to you that it crystallized for them all of the words, all of the prophecies, all of the hatred that had been vented against their Lord was all put in the right perspective. Everything in a moment became crystal clear. They remembered now that he had told them, I will go to Jerusalem. I will be put into the hands of the Jews. I will be crucified and I will rise the third day. And now in their very presence on that third day in the evening, there was their Lord standing in their midst. We thought this morning about the appearance of Christ to his disciples and how that it proved the reality of his physical and bodily resurrection from the dead, and how it is an essential doctrine that to believe that Christ rose in the very body that he was crucified in is essential to our salvation. It was not a phantom body. It was not some other body, and Jesus just came to them in spirit. No, it was the very body that he was crucified in. He rose from the dead, and he appeared to them. And the evidence is so clear. There he was, standing before them. The one who a few hours before, they witnessed with their eyes that he had suffered such a cruel torture of crucifixion, and then the final step of the humiliation of the Son of God. He became a corpse, and he went to a tomb. But when Christ rose from the dead, and from that moment, there would never again be any humiliation that would be inflicted upon the Christ of God. That was the end of it. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross, that was the end of the atoning work that he had to do, but that was not quite the end of his humiliation. He yet would have to die, he yet would go into a grave, and he would be there for 3 days and for 3 nights. But now that he is alive from the dead, all the humiliating steps that he had taken of leaving glory and coming down to be born as a baby in Bethlehem, and all of the humiliation that he walked through Palestine, and all of the abuse that he had to take from those who scoffed and ridiculed and accused him of lying and of being a son of the devil, all of those things are now past. He has risen from the dead, and the Creator of all things now standing before them. Not to lay accusation against his disciples, apart from maybe a gentle rebuke. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Those were not words of rebuke. Until that morning of the third day when he had risen from the dead and showed himself to the women, to Peter, to his disciples, and above all to the 500 people that saw him at one time. All of those people were living witnesses and public testimonies that indeed Christ Jesus was alive from the dead. The evidence of the resurrection of the Lord is so overwhelming that if such an event was to occur today and it was splashed upon all the news feeds around the world, it would be a fool who would deny the evidence of such a reality. And there Jesus stood to show to his disciples, I am he. It is myself standing before you. We thought also this morning about the significance of the Lord showing his hands and his feet to them. Well, it was undeniable evidence of his love, of his tender care for those that had so recently deserted him, and now they could see him. They could talk with him, they could touch him, And how many times we consider today had those very hands touched them in the course of their life to encourage, to direct, to point, to show, to come alongside when they were maybe cast down. And now those hands that bear those wounds and scars, they are stark evidence. Stark evidence of what? Well, certainly that He is alive from the dead, that He is risen, but they are stark evidence that their names are now engraven on His hands. Now, that does not mean that they could see their names, Peter, John, Paul, written on their hands. No, that's not what it means, because they are written indelibly there. However, the very single mark of the nail print, that was evidence enough for them that their names are inscribed in His hands. Friends, I wonder tonight, do you know that your name is inscribed in the hand of Christ? Are you certain of that tonight? Have you received the free gift of His grace and of His love? The hands and feet of our Lord, they were indeed calloused, scarred, maybe not so attractive on the surface, at least not in appearance. But the beauty of them goes far beyond any physical eyesight, because the beauty of them is contained in what they represent. Our Redeemer has risen from the dead, and those feet that are nail pierced, those feet were unstoppable in going to the cross. You think the Lord Jesus was dragged to the cross? Do you think He went to the cross against His will? The Creator of heaven and earth, do you think that He could have withstood being taken to the cross? The hymn writer wrote, He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, take Him down from the cross, deliver Him from ever going there. But the Son of God, your Savior, went there willingly and embraced the cross. He took it because He loves you, dear friend, so much that He went to die in that place to bear the cost of our eternal salvation. So as we think tonight and continue on in our pondering, what is it that we can draw tonight? What truth is conveyed by Christ showing His scarred hands and feet to those disciples and to us for that matter? What truth is conveyed? What is it that we learn from that? I say to you, friend, in the first place, we learn this, that His scars show that He was wounded for our transgressions. That is a theme that has been taught from Isaiah 53, but it was not only taught there in the Old Testament, it was taught from the very first time in Genesis when God slew those innocent animals to provide coats of skins for Adam and Eve. It was from the very beginning. He was wounded for our transgressions. We are told by Paul that He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so when we think about the transgressions that we committed, that have been placed upon the Son of God, our Messiah, our Lamb, He is the one that stood between us and the judgment and wrath of a holy God against sin. And He stepped willingly between us and judgment. He stepped willingly between us and hell. He took our hell upon Him. He bore our transgressions. Sometimes we have thought What would this service look like if on the screen behind me was all of a sudden lit up the sins that you have committed? What would you think and do if that was the case? Stop and consider that for a moment. Don't think about the person sitting beside you. Think about your sins. And imagine if they were detailed and the scrolling just continued on and scrolling. And we're not just talking maybe about the sins that are sort of the little sins that, well, everybody knows everybody does, but maybe you're not too concerned about those. What about those other things? Those deep sins, those dark things, those sins that have been in the mind and heart that you've committed, that I've committed. What if they were posted for everyone to see? It would be a very, very shameful situation. You could not imagine it. Your head would be so far down in shame, as mine would be as well. My dear friends, those wounds in Christ's hands give us evidence that He has borne our transgressions. And the Lord is so gracious, isn't He? Because He does not advertise them to the whole world. He doesn't go and gossip all of our sins to someone else. No, He has borne them. Christ has taken them. God the Father knows every one of them. And yet we have this wonder and this amazement that He has cast them deliberately behind Him and He has forgotten about them. He has buried them into the depths of the sea. And they will never come again, ever. You still know them. And if someone else that's been connected with you some way might know them. And maybe as we've committed them, the devil knows them. He might try to bring them back against us again, come back to haunt us. But friends, when Christ has borne them and carried them, and He has washed them away by His own precious blood, those very nail-pierced hands give us evidence, and we learn that from seeing it. Oh, friend, never count the cross a light thing. Never just pass by it and say, well, that's good for somebody else, but it really doesn't affect me. No, friends. It affects every single one of us. It teaches us also that our Lord's hand is not shortened, that He cannot save. Oh, I love that scripture. It's a precious one. We don't often, though, connect the hand that Christ showed to His disciples as being that word where the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that He cannot save. But connect them tonight and think about that. Because how wonderful is it that the hand of the Lord, the mighty Creator, His hand does not reach almost to us. He almost gets a hold, but He just can't quite grasp us. That's not the way it is in the gospel. The gospel is so precious because the Lord has reached us and He has taken hold of us and He draws us to Himself by faith in salvation. Have you experienced and tasted that tonight, my dear friend? We also learn from this that these wounds mark our Lord's commitment to plead and to pray for us. You see, when the Lord showed Himself to His disciples, and there was a period of time where He showed Himself again, and perhaps several times, until He was ascended and went up to glory, and there He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In our Bible class this morning, the adult class, we were considering Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says very specifically there that if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where? What? Why? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and where he is today, ever living to make intercession for us. Those nail-pierced hands are evidence that he's praying for you and for me today. You're having a bad day, bad week, bad month. Believer, never forget the truth that your Savior, your Redeemer, is holding on to you, to your cause, to your name before the Father in heaven. It is a wonder that goes beyond our ability to fully get hold of it. You and I are forgetful even when we are praying for those closest to us. We say to someone, family member, friend, I'm praying for you. And you might be earnest in that, and you pray for them, and you pray for them tomorrow and the next day, but Wednesday and Thursday, you forgot because you were so busy doing other stuff. You might remember on Friday or Saturday. But I will say to you tonight that our Lord Jesus never forgets. He never omits. It's never a point where he's got too much on the go today and he can't really remember you and your cause before him. It is never like that, friend. The Savior remembers and pleads your cause before him at the throne of grace. Does that mean anything to you? Or is that just like water off a duck's back? You hear it, but it's no big deal. Ah, friend, I say to you tonight, it is a big deal. It is a great and important matter. But if it doesn't mean too much to you tonight, maybe there's another problem. Maybe you have been brought up in a church. Maybe you've been taught things from a young age. Maybe you even made a profession of faith when you were young. But your life has gone on with other things, and you're busy with life, and you don't really count the value or the import of the intercession of Christ for you. Then, friend, I say to you tonight and challenge you, come back to that truth again and weigh it up in your mind, in your spirit, of how essential and important a doctrine and a truth it is, because the nail-pierced hands of Christ, they are evidence and testimony that he is and will continue to present his sacrifice and the merit and the value of it before his Father in heaven continually for you. He's praying for us all the time. And when Jesus is seeking his Father's face for you and for me, that we will persevere to the end, that we will be overcomers by the power that he has vested through his merit and the value of his cross work, and he is doing that always. Now, I'm not sure what that looks like in glory. We don't know. But the very truth is that Jesus' presence in heaven of the ascended, resurrected Christ, that in itself is speaking volumes before his Father because his sacrifice has been accepted. And we are accepted in Christ through that sacrifice. Therefore, we have boldness. That's why Paul argues in Hebrews chapter 4, we therefore have access, for our great high priest has already gone. We have boldness. We are not beggars before God, friends. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. And when we come to speak to our Lord, and we come to present our intercession and our needs, our supplication, he hears us because he hears Christ, and therefore he hears us. And that is a great joy and a hope for us in glory. We learn something further. That these marks of Christ in his hands and feet remain an everlasting reminder to saints in glory. An everlasting reminder. It's sometimes a difficult thing to comprehend that Christ is and will be forever God and man in glory. He took on humanity in Bethlehem, but that was not a temporary thing. The incarnation is so miraculous, it cannot be comprehended by us, that Christ not only took on humanity in Bethlehem and he lived a human life, but he continues to be a human being in glory. God and man, two distinct natures in one person forever and forever. All the wonder of that, friends, is beyond our comprehension tonight. Our Lord Jesus, the scars will remain in his body forever, forever and forever. And when a forever number of years have rolled by in heaven, the scars of Calvary will still remain in our Lord Jesus. And they will always be markers. They'll always be reminders, so that in glory we will know how we got there. In glory we will never forget the cross work of our Lord. We'll not forget his passion, his suffering. Written on tables of stone, well, that's one thing, but the things of this earth and stone tables and things of that nature are all going to crumble and disintegrate. But those marks will never disintegrate. They are written there as reminders for all eternity. They are marks that show us that Christ is a victorious King. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But as a king that is victorious, returning from the battle, yes, he has the crown of glory upon his head. Yes, he will be presented for all eternity as the victorious king. But what else will that king have returning from battle? He'll have the marks of that battle. And that's the very thing that will be evident for all eternity of our salvation. Something further. Those marks will remain as an everlasting evidence of the guilt of those who crucified the Lord of glory. In the book of Acts, Peter, as he was standing, being accused by the Jews of presenting this new doctrine of Jesus and the resurrection and salvation, and he very clearly brought the accusation at the very feet of those Jewish leaders at that day. But he said this: it is by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that you have put to death the Lord of glory. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It means that Christ indeed, by the purpose of the Lord, was sent to be our sin bearer and would suffer and die to take away our sins. That was in the plan of God. It was in his heart. But how we will separate the responsibility of wicked men and the devil's purposes to try to put to death the Son of God, we will not figure that one out so easily. Those things converge and overlap. But one thing is certain, that God in his eternal decree and purpose brings judgment rightly and justly to bear upon those who crucified his Son. And the marks of Christ will be for all eternity evidences of the guilt that is upon those who crucified the Lord. And my dear friends, I believe that there is going to be seen there an evidence of our participation in that. In that sense of seeing those marks, we will know that they are there because of our sin. Now I know that in glory all tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more sorrow, no more mourning in that sense. But those memories and remembrances, they will be there. They will not be forgotten as to how we got into heaven. So they will have, in that sense, a twofold, a memory and a marker for those that are in hell, and the memory and the marker of those of us who are in glory. Yes, they are there. And further, they show the connection between the visible and the invisible reality of the resurrected Christ. What do I mean by this? Well, for those disciples, they saw at that time the physical reality of the resurrected Christ. And that was presented to them. Now, Thomas, we've read in John 20, Thomas wasn't there the first week, the first Sunday evening service. He missed. And he missed out the blessing. But he was there on the second Sunday evening service, so he did get the blessing that time. And the Lord came and showed himself to him. You remember doubting Thomas, as we know, he had to put his finger in the nail prints. He had to put his hand in his side to feel the imprint of the spear, to feel the imprint of the spike. And when he touched the Lord, he felt him. And then he knew. And he cried out, "My Lord and my God." That was Thomas's moment. But the Lord did not commend him for believing that time, you know. The Lord said, "Thomas, you have seen me. You have seen the visible, and you believed." But Christ said, "Blessed are those that have not seen and believed." And that's the invisible. And that's where you and I come into this. Because we have not had that privilege that the disciples had, or those 500 that saw the resurrected Christ. And yet we have believed in Him, though we have not seen Him with our natural eye. So it is the invisible here. And the nail prints of Christ, and how He showed Himself to His disciples, that's a connection between the grace of the Lord giving that sight to them and the grace of the Lord that is given to us, the invisible reality. If it was not that, believer, you would not be wasting your time here tonight. You would not be coming here to this church and this service and listening to somebody up here ranting on about something that you did not believe and was not true. You would say, "Forget that, I'm going to go out and enjoy myself in the world." No, something's different. And the difference is God's Spirit has spoken to your heart. He has revealed the reality of the risen Christ to your soul. And that's why you're here. And the glorious marks of Christ in His body, it shows us there is a great connection in the visible and the invisible. And one final thing I leave with you tonight is this, that our Lord's outstretched hands, they offer still salvation to you. And this, my friend, is for you tonight if you have never come to know and receive Jesus. Can you see this and envision it in your mind? Okay, my hands are extended here. You can see it with your eyes. But I say to you that Christ, speaking through every faithful minister of the gospel that is presenting the truth and the reality of His word, is also visibly showing you the invisible reality that Christ is alive, and the offer is still being extended tonight of grace. And the love of the Lord is being shown to you, friend. Have you received that gift in your heart? Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Is He your risen Savior tonight? Oh, friend, if you have not settled that matter, if you've not made peace with God, I don't know how how you have responded in the past. I know that most of you here, I know by the testimony I know of you that you are truly born again. But there may be someone, or maybe you're listening online tonight and you have never bowed your heart to Christ. Well, I say to you, His nail-pierced hands are extended, and that is evidence of the offer of His grace. While you are still alive, while you have breath in you and a heart beating, that is God's grace to you, giving you time to repent and to come to Him. But you put off and delay and make excuses and say you're so busy and say life has got hold of me and one thing after another and you're too busy for God. You've got things going on. My friend, a moment will occur and life will be taken from you. And we do not know the day when our death will come. And so the Lord's grace to you tonight is, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so do not delay, do not put it off, but come tonight and bow your heart and your head to the Lord Jesus. Because as you do, where you are seated, you don't need me, you don't need anyone else. Now we are your servants, and if I can show you from the Scripture, I'll be glad to do that in more detail. But right where you are, you might bow your heart and pray and say, Lord, be merciful, forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my own. And when you do that, the Lord has said, He is faithful. He will hear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the truth, and that's the blessed reality, and that is what we learn from our Savior's hands of grace and love extended to us. I trust you will come to Him and believe in Him tonight. We're going to close our service by singing number 162. We sang this already tonight, one of the favorites, but we will sing this again. Standing, please, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Father, we give thanks tonight for the privilege we have of being here. We are very simple and weak and helpless characters and creatures, Lord. And let you've had mercy upon us. And we are thankful that you receive the praise and the worship of our hearts. And this is but, Lord, a taste of glory to come. Hear our prayers tonight. Lord, bless our fellowship downstairs afterward. Write the word upon every heart. Save precious souls, we ask tonight. Part us in your fear with that rich and mighty blessing that comes alone from the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.